I am so glad to see some of y'all guys for the first time in a while. Some of y'all, even if you have been here in a while, I'm still glad to see you. Your faces haven't gotten old to me yet. It is such a good morning. I just love summertime. I just love hanging out with you guys. Jameson, could you turn me down a little bit? I'm real loud. So this morning, we are talking about a scripture that y'all guys just read. This is in our series, Our God Is. And essentially all we're doing is we're taking some Old Testament stories and we are seeing what they tell us about the character of God, right? Because the Bible is this really cool thing that tells us all about God, right? And the Old Testament's just this constant testament of the people of Israel saying, this is how we've experienced this God and this is what this means to us. And so we're looking at that. So in the first week, we looked at this story about Abram cutting all these animals in half and how it meant that God, like, loved us and was awesome, and that God was a redeemer. This week, we are talking about, I got 1 week ahead of myself. This week, we are reading this story. This is the Valley of Dry Bones. It's kind of a pseudo-famous story. I don't know. I've never heard a sermon on it, but I know a lot of people that have preached sermons on it, so I'm assuming it's pretty famous. This comes out of Ezekiel, and we were talking about how God is life, right? And I think that that's a pretty fitting thing to talk about right now. Because I've noticed, I've been watching the finals a lot. Go Golden State, take that LeBron. Unless he goes to LA, then I'm okay with it. But I've been watching the finals a lot, and I've noticed there are a whole bunch of commercials now, maybe always, but I'm noticing it now. There are a whole bunch of commercials now that are like, buy our products to actually experience life. Right, like, have you noticed that, like, the car commercials where, like, they get in and, like, their hair stands up and they're like, you're finally going to experience life when you go around that mountain curve really fast and whatever is going on. Or, when you drink a Coke, you know, you're finally going to get the point of living when you drink a Coke or get diabetes and die. I don't know. I'm catching a pattern here, Sharon, actually, now that you mention it. We have, like, Carnival Cruise Lines or Walt Disney World. Like, there's all these products that, like, their whole selling point, like, their whole purpose is experience life. A lot of times, experience life for the first time ever when you try our Post-it notes. It's just crazy to me. It's just a weird thing that I noticed. But then I noticed this weird contrast and why they might be doing that. Because then when you watch everything else on TV, it's always so, like, sad. Right? Like, our world's just kind of not in a good place right now, it seems like, if you watch 5 minutes of CNN. There's just always just kind of this sad stuff and, like, the opposite of life. And so maybe all of these people have figured out something and they're like, these people feel like they're not living, so let's give them some life, right? So I was watching these, and I thought they were kind of funny, and I thought they were weird. But then I was thinking about, I have never seen someone in a Dodge Charger that also looked like they were enjoying their life. Mostly because they were in Atlanta traffic at the same time. But I've never seen these products actually do what they said they were going to do. The only person, loosely, quote, person that I can think of that actually just is pumped about life is my dog Magnolia. I actually have a picture of her. Tori, if you want to put up a beautiful picture of my dog, that's actually both my puppies. Aww. Oh, puppies. Magnolia is the black one. She is a lab bloodhound mix. And Magnolia is excited about life. All right? Like, she is pumped about living. This doesn't really capture Magnolia. Tori, if you want to go to the next picture, this is more like Magnolia. She's just always, wherever you are, just like, hey. Or, like, go ahead and show them the next one just because I like it. It's cute. Oh, puppy. Oh, Magnolia. Magnolia knows how to live. Like, you walk in the door and she is there. You can hear, like, thundering. She's like 90 pounds. You can hear her thundering down the hallway and she just tackles you. She's just so pumped. She just wants to, like, lick you all over. She's so excited that you're there. We have someone staying with us right now that lived with us a year ago, all summer long, right? He walked in last night and Magnolia was like, I remember you, and just mauled him, right? Because she is excited to be alive. Right, and she does not have a Dodge Charger or Coca-Cola or health insurance. She's just a dog. You can go ahead and take, because I'll just stare at that all day, Magnolia. Really, I just wanted an excuse to show you a picture of my dog, let's be real here. But this morning, we're going to talk about, because that's kind of all I want in life. I want to be as excited about anything as Magnolia is about everything. All right, like, I want to experience that kind of living. And this morning, we get a story that kind of tells us a little bit about that. It kind of tells us a little bit about life, right? So some background information. One of the reasons why I love this series is also because I get to just like teach y'all guys a little bit about the Old Testament too, and I think that's fun. But so a little background information about Ezekiel. We are in the book of Ezekiel. Does anybody know anything about Ezekiel besides the fact he's going to win a Super Bowl this year? Does anybody know anything about Ezekiel? He's a prophet, right?
He had to eat poop.
Yeah, and a scroll. He ate some stuff. As unrelated note, when I have a pastor friend that said, "Hey, what are y'all guys talking about this Sunday?" and I said, "We're gonna read something out of Ezekiel," and he said, "Oh, y'all gonna trip acid? That's fun." Ezekiel's crazy. All right, it's just a crazy book. It's so much fun. Anyways, yeah. So he ate poop. What else do we know about Ezekiel?
He was in Babylon,
right? Which this is, so this is actually kind of significant. He was in Babylon as opposed to being where? Like, why does, as opposed, right? So this was during the time he is writing, which, side note, sometimes in the Old Testament, like, we're not actually sure who wrote this book. We are pretty sure a guy named Ezekiel who was a prophet actually wrote this book. Like it actually is at face value at the time it said it was written, by who it said it was written. Like,
No one else would claim it.
But so he is writing in Babylon in exile, right? So the Israel has been taken over by the Babylonians, and they have sent all of their elites to Babylon. And this is at a time, where there are actually two different communities still, all right? Everybody has not been exported yet. So there's still a community of Israelites in Jerusalem or in the area, and there's a community of Israelites in Babylon, right? So he is writing in Babylon. Plug for next week. Next week we're going to be out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is at the same time writing in Jerusalem. So it's this cool little back. Anyways. But yeah, so he is writing in Babylon. Do you know who he's writing to specifically? Anybody? Andrew just looked up so quizzical, like, I don't know. Is it me? Ooh. He is writing, if I remember right, he is writing to the people in Babylon with him, I think. I don't know. I might be wrong on that. Don't quote me on that. All right. But so, yeah, he's writing in exile in Babylon. Do we know anything else about Ezekiel? It's okay. So Ezekiel saw a wheel is what she is referencing. There's a part in here where he sees that he has this vision. Ezekiel, as a side note, and then we'll move on. If you ever just, like, want to read a fun book, read Ezekiel, because, like, there's just all sorts of stuff that happens. And he uses a lot of metaphor and, like, these crazy scenes and, like it is just cool. Like, it's just a trippy thing, and I don't know. I imagine there's just a lot of color in Ezekiel's life. But, yeah, so he, that is pretty much all I know about Ezekiel, too, so we can move on now. But Ezekiel, he's writing in Babylon, and he's writing to a people that have been displaced, a people that in a lot of ways have like lost their hope, right? Like their temple has been destroyed. They have lost their connection to their God. They, in a lot of ways, they are just kind of hopeless. And they're like, what? Like, what are we doing? What's the point? Because the whole point of being an Israelite was that you worship this God. And the whole way you worship this God was through the temple in Jerusalem. And if there's no more temple in Jerusalem, how do I worship God? And if I can't worship God, what? Like, who am I? What's even the point of being in Israel? That's kind of where they're at. And so he's writing to them, and he's prophesying, and he's giving them, and sometimes, and other times he's not, but he's giving them their hope back, right? And this is a good example of that. This text that we read this morning is Ezekiel giving them their hope back, right? And he does it as Ezekiel normally does. He does it with this really elaborate metaphor that involves him acting out some weird stuff and crazy things happening, and possibly zombies. But so he illustrates this point where he says, no, you don't understand. You might feel like this valley of dry bones, right? You might just feel like just dried out and pointless and just like dead, right? You might feel like that, but you don't understand because God hasn't forgotten you and God is going to reanimate you. And then God does, and it's really cool. And then Ezekiel just tells you, people of Israel, this is you. You are the valley of dry bones, right? He's really clear about it. And it's this really cool message of hope and of like, guys, it will be okay. And I wanted to talk about that this morning because I think that can directly be placed onto our life now, right? Because I think God still does the exact same thing, right? Like, I think this still happens because we have something called the Holy Spirit, right? The word that they use, if you'll notice, so when Ezekiel reanimates the things, right, like they're like these lifeless kind of like zombie beings, and it said, but they still don't have life. So then Ezekiel calls the wind. Did they use the word wind?
Yes.
I can't remember. So Ezekiel calls the wind, and it like comes in, and then it gives them life,
yes.
Right? That word wind is ruach. I'm not pronouncing that right, for the record. Okay, sure. It's like, you're okay. It's ruach. And that means wind, but it also means breath, and it means spirit, right? Wind, breath, and spirit. And so like way back when in Genesis, when God is creating man, right, and it says like God like breathed into Adam, it's the same word,
yes.
Right? It's the same word of God giving God's spirit, right? God giving God's breath, God breathed. And so Ezekiel is having God's breath come into this, God's
yes.
spirit,
Amen.
Right? And I think, this is a William hypothesis, but I think that that is the Holy Spirit. I think that is the Spirit of God, right? I think that word spirit is intentional. And I think that that is what God still does today through Jesus, is that we get the Spirit of God, right? There's this cool passage in John. In John, Jesus says, I think it's like John 15. I don't know. Sharon, is it? You don't know. Whatever. Yeah, maybe. I don't. Whatever. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. All right, that's 15. Sharon's my go-to resource. I'm like, Sharon, where is this? John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And then he goes on, he's saying, Jesus basically says, if you get cut off from the tree, then you die. But if you stay connected to me, if you dwell within my love, then you will have fruit and you will live and you will have life and you will have joy and like all this exciting stuff. It's like that peach tree out there, if I cut a branch off, those peaches are going to wither up and die. But if I leave it on there, they're going to grow and Daniel's going to teach us how to eat them really good. Like that is kind of what Jesus is talking about. We have this vine, and we just be connected to God, right? It's, in a lot of ways, it's like, if anybody has a cell phone, go ahead and pull it out real fast. Some of you are already using it to text your friends. That's fine. It's in a lot of ways like this. If you pull out your phone, do me a favor and turn it on airplane mode so I know that you're not, you know, like, playing around. Turn your phone on. Andrew's like, no. Oh my gosh, what millennial are you? All right, turn on airplane mode. Pull your phone, turn on airplane mode. All right, now what I want you to do, Anjanette, you have airplane mode on. Actually, all right, and don't connect to Wi-Fi either because that's cheating. Anjanette, after you turn on airplane mode, could you do me a favor and could you send me a text? She's like, I don't know how to work it. All right. I want Anjanette to send me a text because she can't. Don't worry about it. It's an illustration. Because she can't. In airplane mode, she can't send me a text, right? She can't Google stuff. She can't, like, this is a very limited phone suddenly. So, like, I have my phone in airplane mode. I can still, like, take pictures of y'all. I have an offline Bible app, so I can still read the Bible. I could see some stuff. Like, this is still a functioning phone. But it loses so much of its capabilities when it's not connected to the internet, the
Amen.
Other, right? That's kind of how God is with us, right? We're these phones, we're these smartphones that aren't so smart unless we are connected to God. Like, we can still do stuff. I can still function. I can still, like, wander around and be grumpy and, like, kind of, like, do my taxes and stuff. I don't know, whatever adults do. But, like, I am not fully living into my potential, my capabilities if I am not connected, if I'm not connected to God. Right? I am like a phone on airplane mode. I can't Google. I don't have the power. Like, the internet's just an incredible thing. Have you always ever thought about that? Like, it's ridiculous. I grew up with the internet. I don't know. Andrew's old. He didn't. The internet's like an incredible thing. Like, we can just, at our fingertips, I could figure out how to, like, build, like, a wind turbine or something. Like, whatever. Right? Like, everything is at my fingertips. And most of the time, I use it for, like, weird memes and like cat videos. Like, that's most of the time what we use the internet for. 80% is like Vine compilations, and then like one guy's out there actually using the internet to its full potential. That is us with God, and we have to be connected to God, right? And we do that through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm leaving, but I'm giving you something greater than I am. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. It's this incredible thing. And the other cool thing that we see in Ezekiel. You can take your phones off airplane mode if you want. I don't care. Illustration's over. But the other cool thing that happens with Ezekiel is, if you'll notice, he animates. God comes in and God animates all of the bones. There's like non-discrimination in this animation. God wasn't like picking like, I like this femur the best, and like this skull has a good shape to it, but that is a lumpy head. We're not going to do that one. Everybody gets the Spirit of God, right? Everybody gets the Spirit of God. That's a new thing. Like when you read the Bible, that's not like that. That's a Jesus thing. Before that, it wasn't as much the case. Like you hear about people getting the Spirit and then losing it. Like one of my favorite stories is about Saul, like the King Saul loses the Spirit of God and he knows he's lost it and he like freaks out and goes crazy and wants to get it back so bad. The idea that we can all have the Spirit of God is a relatively new phenomenon, but it's such a cool thing. It means that everyone in this room is eligible for the Spirit of God. Amen. It means everybody in this room is able to connect with God like that. Everyone gets the Holy Spirit. Every single bone was animated, which is such a cool thing. And not only were they animated, this is where the part gets tricky and gets a little bit convicting, though. Every single bone gets animated, but one point I want to notice is that they all get animated ultimately by Ezekiel, like through by God, but through Ezekiel, right? God doesn't just like make it happen. God says, Ezekiel says, they're still not alive, and God said, well, you got to prophesy some more, right? Like God uses Ezekiel to bring this life into the world, right? I think that still happens today. I think the way that we get connected to God and the way that we get life and the way that God distributes God's Spirit is by using us, right? So everyone in this room might have the Spirit of God, but also the world's not going to be alive if we do not help other people get the Spirit of God. Just like Ezekiel had to go out and had to prophesy, and just like Ezekiel had to go out and had to call the wind in, right? It wasn't Ezekiel's wind. We're not talking about the Spirit of Ezekiel. It's not us ultimately doing it, but we have a role to play in this. And I think so many times we're like, man, this world is dead. God, what are you going to do about it? Right? So many times that's our response. Man, this world is dead. And God's like, I'm waiting on you. Like, come on. Where's your prophesying? Where's your preaching to the dead bones? There's this book that I really like by Shane Claiborne. He's this guy. He's cool. But Shane Claiborne, he describes this scene where he says, so he goes to heaven, he dies, he goes to heaven, and he's talking to God, and he says, God, I just don't understand how could you let such awful things happen in the world? You know, how could you let so many babies die of curable diseases? Or how could you let so much famine happen? Or did y'all know one every 5 seconds a kid dies of hunger? Like, that's just a real life statistic. How could you let that happen, you know? How could you let Atlanta be the leading city in the United States for sex trafficking? How could you let just people starve? And God looks at him and says, well, Shane, how could you let it happen? How could you let all of those kids die? How could you let all of those people get taken advantage of? Because what's happened is God has given us the Spirit, right? God has animated our lives. And now we got to do something with it, right? God works to bring us alive so that we might bring others alive, amen. Right? So many times Jesus uses the metaphor of the light, right? Jesus says you're like a light in the darkness. You're a city on a hill. You're a candle in a whatever, right? There's this metaphor of the light. And the whole point of that is the idea of like a light isn't just illuminated for itself. A light shines. A light spreads, right? If I am a light, I am illuminated so that everyone around me can see too. Right? That's the whole point of a light. That's why Jesus keeps using that metaphor. What are we doing to bring life back into the world? Because God's given it to us. We are free. It's freely available to us. How are we helping other people tap into that too? Right? We need to start sharing the Wi-Fi password, to go back to a weird metaphor from earlier. You know? That, I don't know. It's just crazy. And that is kind of where we're left with, is that we know we have experienced this incredible power of God, right? We've experienced the Holy Spirit. Incredible things have happened through that. Our lives are different because of that, right? We've felt it. We've seen it. We've seen miracles happen. You know, we've seen incredible life transformation happen. You know, we have seen these things, and now we need to realize that we have to help other people experience get to it, right? We have the internet. We need to use it for more than just cat videos, all right? So ultimately, that is what we're left with, is God is life. God is breathing life into this world. We look around and we see the brokenness and we see the heartache and we see the tragedy, but we know that God is breathing life into this world. Because the other cool thing is that when you read in Ezekiel, the winds are already there, right? Do you guys know that the winds are already there? Ezekiel didn't have to like make wind appear. The winds were already there. Ezekiel just directed them. God is already here. All right, God is already wherever you're going to go. I remember we, my wife and I, about a year and a half ago, moved to Pittsburgh, which that's come up like 7 times today, so just so you'll know. My wife and I moved to Pittsburgh like a year and a half ago, which is a pretty rough neighborhood. And a lot of people were like, oh, are y'all guys moving there so you can like bring God to this rough neighborhood? And we were like, no. If God's not there, we're screwed. Like, no. Guys, we don't bring God anywhere. God is already there. God's already working. Our job is just to join in, yeah. Right? Our job is just to come alongside and just be a part of whatever's already going on, right? That's our call. The wind is already there. So as we go out this week and as we look through our lives, we need to say, first of all, we need to acknowledge God's here, and God is a God of life. And God brings life. God has conquered death. God fills us with this incredible spirit. So what am I doing with that spirit? How am I utilizing what is already there? How am I using this spirit that God has given me? I have been given the power of the internet. Please let me do more than make LeBron memes with it. That is our call. All right, and that is our charge, is to be life givers just like our God is a life giver. Amen. All right, and I will be the first to tell you, I have not figured this out. I am not great at this. There are so many times that I want to hole away in a back room and find God. You know, and then I want to hold on to that, and I want to cling to that. And that's good, but I need to take that, all right? So that's what we got to figure out, and that's what we got to do. And it's not going to be easy, but oh my gosh, talk about pursuing God for the God's dreams in our community, in our lives, in the world, all right? Thanks be to God. Amen.